Wizard Magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh College Podcast number 455. Almost went the wrong way with those numbers. You're talking about, we have background music tonight. I know Jermaine likes it when there's a little bit of background music. Just Jeff was in and put some credits on the Pac-Man machine, so we got the groove going. Okay. Dave, man, beatboxing. Good job.
That's my jam.
Okay. Not something I ever thought I'd hear you say.
No.
No.
Nope. Really didn't expect him to be bust out to can't play.
So, I am Colin McMahon. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Pat.
Brandon.
Spencer.
Mike was having a bad day, so we let him go.
We let him go. Makes it sound like we terminated him.
Well, we didn't terminate him. We let him leave.
He went to a farm.
Yeah, he's a farm upstate.
He's a farm upstate where I have plenty of room to roam.
Yeah, yeah.
Plenty of comics to read.
Yes. Sounds good. Oh,
wait. Uh-oh.
But.
Well, I guess I'll take him out back.
Anybody have any news? I don't recall any news.
Actually, I did hear something. They will no longer be printing DC Connect.
It's just that little pamphlet I stick in the
thing. I get it.
I understand. Which I found was funny because the one thing I said to him at Comics Pro was not having a previews and letting customers know what's coming up is harming my pre-orders, which is harming your sales.
News.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pierce Brosnan cast as Dr. Fate. So they're kind of taking a step back, and I just think it's funny that they think that people that buy print product want to get all their information digitally. It's a little disconnect there.
Yeah, well, you can't find anything.
No, you can't. You can't. And it's funny. Oh, one thing. Might be a question, but I'll reference it then. But there was a big brouhaha about Bleeding Cool did a story where DC has raised all their prices to $5.99. Well, not quite right. I'm never, you know, questioning Bleeding Cool's investigative journalism. But it was a typo in their digital online DC Connect that they do, where it had both the regular price and the stock, the card stock variant were both $5.99. But that's not the case. The regular book is $4.99. The card stock variant, like they've been since they started doing them, are a dollar more. What happened, it was printed wrong in their DC Connect, the actual online thing.
Is it printed? So there's no reason you can't go fix it.
Well, I think the problem is nobody noticed, because you have to remember there was a man, a gentleman by the name of Adam, who was responsible for doing the previews, their previews catalog for 20 years.
Probably got to let go.
He is no longer with the company, so I'm sure now it's an unpaid intern was responsible for putting that together and made
an
error.
They get what they pay for.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no offense to the person that might actually be doing that's not an unpaid intern, but they let somebody go who knew exactly what he was doing, and now someone else, and this was the first one because he worked there through February, so I'm sure he did the March one,
Yeah. Maybe
the April one even, so just not the new one. So I'm guessing that's what happened, but DC has said nothing. So lots of people have come in saying, I'm not getting DC for $5.99, and they don't realize how much damage that story is doing to their brand. But again, nobody's paying attention, which is a problem.
Do they care?
I think they care because it's going to lower their orders and their sales. You know, and that's not something they could possibly want.
Or maybe they're saying, if the number of lowered orders doesn't surpass what we can make by raising it to $5.99, we'll just leave it.
Maybe, but it just, yeah. So that was one thing. Let me see. I know I had another question. Actually, this was.
I know one thing we forgot about talking about last week was that they announced that they're having like a new gay Captain America character.
Yeah,
come
I didn't
out
really.
From somewhere.
I didn't really read the story. It's just.
I thought that was just like a variant.
It could be.
Oh.
Yeah, for Pride Month or whatever. Because all of a sudden they did announce. Or was. Yeah, Marvel was doing a bunch of Pride stuff for Pride Month.
They're doing some kind of mini series.
Yeah.
Where showing different heroes, how different people have been influenced by Captain America. And this is just one of them. It's probably only going to be like one issue.
Yeah.
Ugh. But that's not the same as having a gay Captain America. Like, because I saw what Spencer was talking about, and it was like, meet your new gay Captain America. It's
that's really
misleading.
Yeah, that is misleading, right. Right, they're blowing it out of proportion. But that's called hype.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never introduced myself as the straight anything, so... Yeah.
I was like, but I don't want to give away the Winter Soldier, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I haven't watched it.
Okay.
It's excellent.
My only problem was the guy at the very end looked like a 90-year-old man with no teeth.
Oh, I saw that on...
Because I thought that was a joke picture when I saw it before. Mm-hmm. And then when it actually appeared at the end of the episode, I was like...
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was a really... hopefully
John Walker does not...
Does not look like that.
He does not inspire me.
Yeah, that was the... Because I literally thought it was a picture of some, like, QAnon guy that was wearing Captain America stuff that somebody grabbed a picture. Because where I had seen it, it was a picture of Chris Evans and then that guy.
Yes.
And it was like, you know, Captain America on drugs kind of thing. And I just... So when it was actually at the end of the episode, I was like... What? So that did not inspire me with confidence.
The one I saw was that guy, and then the old guy from Up.
Yeah, exactly. yes, exactly. Yeah, so that was... Everything about it was good until that moment, which made me question everything. Okay, so now... Okay, so Zach also says it looks like DC is replacing the Grant Morrison Action Comics omnibuses. Oh, yes. In the most complicated, most costly way, well, maybe not the most costly way, but a really annoying way. So the Grant Morrison omnibuses came out with they misprinted. Something was wrong. I don't remember what it was, but there was something wrong and misprinted in the omnibus. So they're going to issue replacements, but in order to get the replacement, you have to cut the cover off the book, the hard cover,
mm-hmm.
and mail that back to them. They will then send you a new one,
you have to pay for the shipping.
Which is fine and all, but you have to pay to ship that cover back. So I already paid to ship the book here. Who knows what it is, but it's a big, heavy book that takes up a lot of space. Then I have to mail that back, and I know because we had to do that for the Kirby Omnibus thing, and it's about $2. It's not a lot, but it's $2.
$2,
and then I have to pay to ship the new one out. Which is a couple bucks. So it's like, so I ordered it. I didn't do anything wrong. And now the new one's going to cost me $6 more. How does this, what did I do wrong? And on a $75 omnibus, that's, you know, 10%.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, not insubstantial. So just, it's nice they're doing that. And I get they don't want people to have two because then they could sell two, but there has to be a better way.
Right.
To
cut
do
the,
it.
Cut the thing off.
And send a picture or something.
Picture.
But yeah, it's asking me to mail that back because there's no cheap way to do that. I mean, again, it's only $2 or whatever, but it's still just annoying. You know, another complication. So they're making fans left and right. Oh, dear. It's Chris.
So?
Okay, now...
Playing Invisible.
No, I'm trying to remember his name. But in Harrisburg, I'm totally blanking on our friend in Harrisburg's
Tom
name.
Tom Wolf.
Fair enough.
James?
James in Harrisburg. Thank you. I was totally blanking. And it's nowhere in his Twitter handle. So that's why. I was blanking.
A question from Tom Wolf.
Oh, it could be. What superhero movie do you wish would get an extended cut? The new film will be twice as long, so be careful choosing. He picks Endgame.
Well, that's a 6-hour movie. You know what, though? I don't... That's a bad pick. I'll say that. That's a bad pick. That movie, I think, wrapped up the first phase of the MCU pretty much perfectly. I don't know what another 3 hours would add to that. I'm going to say Spider-Man Far From Home because I love Mysterio in that, and you could do so much more with that character. You could have kind of slow built that a little bit better with a little bit more time.
Tim's saying Friday the 13th, but yeah, what would you expect?
See, I was going to go Spider-Man, but Spider-Man 3.
We don't even know what Spider-Man 3 looks like.
No, I'm talking about...
The Sam Raimi one.
Yeah, the Sam Raimi one, because I think an extra, like, 3 hours onto that movie could actually help... Yeah. With all the different characters and expand and explore some things some more, wouldn't be such a cumbered mess as it ended up being. Yeah,
that's where my head went. I was thinking, okay, what are the movies that are 10 pounds of shit in a 5 pound bag? So
that's my pick.
Yeah, I'm going with. I would say Batman v Superman, because like I think they just had to put that thing.
The Ultimate Edition is better.
It is, and I think if you took the Ultimate Edition and like doubled in size and made it effectively like a miniseries, okay. I think that would be way better.
My caveat to Spencer, because I actually think that's not a bad idea, with one caveat, you have to eliminate studio interference.
Well, yeah,
if you just sort of let Sam Raimi make the movie Sam Raimi wanted to make,
yeah,
I'm all for that, but just cramming it, because you give him another 2.5 hours.
They're just going to try to cram more people in.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't want to put Venom in it.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and honestly, that Topher Grace's Venom is super convincing. Yeah.
No, if I can kick Venom's ass, that's not a good Venom.
So I have two. Daredevil, and I want an extra long playground scene.
Have you actually watched the R-rated?
No, I've heard good things about it, but I can't bring myself to watch it again.
No, you can watch that one. It's actually quite watchable.
My other pick would be Howard the Duck, because I think there's so much more they could have done with that, and that they didn't. So much more nuance to the character that they really didn't get to in that version.
Okay, but remember who made that. Do you really want to give Lucas another 2 hours? Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely, because imagine Howard with midichlorians and a Senate. I mean, oh. No, I got nothing. Dave?
He'd have had a Gungan show up for some reason.
Absolutely.
Misa think he was a talking duck.
I'm trying to think of something I want more of. And this is impossible, but I'm just going to say I want more Christopher Reeve as Superman. So I'll say Superman 1 or Superman 2.
Superman 2.5. What happened after?
That was Superman Returns, and that wasn't good.
Have you seen the Donner Cut of 2?
I'm just saying, between that and Richard Pryor, there had to be some story in there. You know, let's tell that story, too.
Yeah.
You know.
The story was Donner got fired after making the first one, and they brought Richard Lester in to make the second. Like, I think he reshot 70% of the movie or something like that. And, you know, added jokes like the ice cream flying in people's faces and the wind machines.
Yeah. All that, when they're having the fight, and you see all the people going like the guy in the roller skates.
On the phone, sliding down the street. Yeah.
And then when he takes
that was the best part.
They when he gets to when they get to the Fortress of Solitude, and he starts having powers that like he's never had. Like he takes the S and
the cellophane
throws, like,
S.
Yeah, the cellophane S.
He did that all the time in the books. You don't know what you're talking about.
Where he could Loki himself all over the room.
Yeah. Yeah. That's because he can move so fast, like the Flash.
I made that, like, piano key sound.
Mm-hmm. I do love Superman 1 and 2. They get real rough real quick after that.
Yeah.
I think I need to rewatch Superman 4. No. Another one
no
I saw.
No one needs to rewatch Superman.
Another one I saw once.
Nuclear.
Once. Okay, let's plow through this. Anybody, anything else? Oh, Mike, do you have a question? No. Jerk.
You should have wrote one in.
Yeah.
If he wasn't going to be here.
Should I text him? It might be an ugly question.
Yeah.
Dave, what'd you read?
I read Happy Hour.
I read that. Wow, was that a happy book.
Number 5.
Ooh.
The penultimate.
A laugh a minute, that book was.
Oh, my gosh.
I assume that's the book you two are the only two reading.
Correct. We are the only two people in the entire store reading. Yes.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is funny, because it's Peter Milligan. You know, it's big name. The art's good, other than the covers.
I assume that's not something you can hand sell, though.
Mm. like I mentioned, it doesn't help that the covers are just, they pick the most disgusting thing.
This one wasn't too bad, but the previous one had people just vomiting on the cover, which is not a good look.
But
I don't know. I've seen some of the Boundless covers. I mean, it's
that has
sells about as well.
Things on the cover, not throwing up.
Dave's the only one that buys those too. So
nice. You're busting Dave's balls all over the place tonight.
It's okay.
See what happens when you come back after a long absence.
That's
why Josh and Adam won't come back.
You made Adam cry. So
I've never made Adam cry.
You tried.
I try to make everybody cry. You got him hit by a car. Which one's worse?
I really didn't have anything to do with that, but
well, you're the one who put your store right here.
Well, I didn't put the building here, so not completely my fault.
But you chose the location.
I did.
You're the one that chose to put the chairs right by the window.
True. What are the chances of it happening again?
Around here? Why do you think I like to park my car there?
If only somebody had been parked there that day. But then I had a conversation piece, so won an award.
That's true. Yeah, now you have a story. A story's
right. Oh, yes, I do. That was the best part, first date. Oh, by the way, this happened to me.
Adam single-handedly stopped the car with
which
his
was pretty
hands.
Cool. I mean, not that it didn't catch on the parking curb, but still.
No, he single-handedly stopped it with his bare hands.
Yeah.
To save 50 people's lives that were in the store at that time.
One, but sure. Well, there were four of us, technically.
Never let facts get in the way of
fair enough.
Story.
Good point. Dave.
What were we talking
what
about?
What was happy hour about?
Oh, happy hour. Yeah, so Jerry and Kim have made it to the commune in Mexico.
Of miserableness.
And they find out, you know, they're locked away to be reconditioned. And they're just as miserable as they were in the United States.
Worse. They have to go into this room where these animals are trained to bite you as if they can even sense any joy inside you. So, and the problem is they fell in love, so they had joy. But finally, that got beaten out of them, and he no longer loved her.
But he is miserable because she doesn't like him anymore.
Right. But she does. That's the problem.
Yeah.
She's just better hired.
No. But then she comes right out and says that she still loves him. He's like, I don't care anymore. Because it turns out she was a secret agent or something.
Yeah. It turns out that she was following, hoping, you know, Jerry would lead her to Mexico to find this place. So security agents, you know, could apprehend this guy, Landor Cohen. But Jerry, he's growing in the eyes of the commune to some, and he doesn't know whether, he has a big decision to make. He doesn't know whether to say, I don't know, I didn't know anything about this, about Kim, what she's doing, or tell the truth that she's not going to take down the commune, and because she's about to be thrown in the swamp of despond. So it's been a really good story. It's been a really good story, I think, and it makes me think about emotions and what people feel and what they're told to feel. Next one, new series Radiant Black. Anybody reading that?
Yep.
Radiant Black number two?
Number two. I like this so far.
Yeah. Definitely digging it.
It's about this guy Nathan, who moves back to Illinois from L.A. He's a writer, and
a failed writer.
Failed writer. Yeah. Who's trying to get back on track.
So he couldn't get all the way back on a midnight train to Georgia, so he just went to Illinois.
Yeah. So he moves back with his parents, and he's out with his buddy one night, and there's this like levitating black hole, and it gives him powers in a suit. In the last page of that first issue, we find out there's someone just like him who's like a red.
Yeah.
But he's Robin Banks. Whoever it is like a bank robber. It was Robin Banks in Chicago. And in the second issue, the police like know that
Well, he saves the lives of two police officers.
Yeah.
And they, like, come to his house the next day.
Yeah.
Which I really liked, because, like, a lot of times in comics, you know, the superhero will save people and then it's kind of throwaway.
Yeah.
Like, whereas these cops are like, this is a small town. Like, we figured out who you are.
Yeah, and that's a good...
buddy. And it's like, wow, that's a really logical scene that I've never seen in a comic before.
Right, exactly.
So... like that was really good.
Yeah, that's a good good ripple to the story.
Yeah.
And they tell him that there's this other person like him. They want to know if they're working together.
Yeah.
So that he decides to go to Chicago and try to find this guy.
To basically ask him, like,
yeah,
do you know what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love. So he does find him, and there's a fight.
But I like the scene of him, because he's basically like an Uber driver. That's kind of like what his job is. So as he's driving people, he's like asking them, like, hey, did you hear about this explosion or this bank robbery and stuff? And he was trying to get information, you know that way through, you know, through people. That I thought was kind of like a cool little scene.
I also like the scene at the end when he finds the red guy left some money bags behind, and Nathan's trying to decide what to do with them. And there's just that one page with his minimal facial expressions as he decides, you know, should I keep it? Oh, I'll give it to the cops.
Yeah, it went from like curious to excited.
That was really well done.
To like sad.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, he could have took like one stack, you know, you turn everything, but you take a stack, you know, then you gotta notice a stack.
Yeah, and it tells a lot about the character.
And there's a good relationship with his dad.
Yeah,
dad's sort of like, between each of these scenes, he comes home and like talks with his dad, and his dad's like,
yeah,
you can stay here as long as you want, but you gotta work.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, that's a good relationship, and
it seemed real.
Yeah, so... And it feels like it's got a lot of places where it could go. Like, I don't know, because we might not see that character in red for like another 12 issues or something like that. You know, it's like, it's not the main focus of the story.
It's a great mystery. I really like that last page of that first issue, and that just that hits you. Oh, there's another one like this. What's going on here? I also read Transformers Back to the Future, number 3.
That was all Gigawatt.
Oh, my gosh. This book, I think it's a little bit too crazy for its own good.
Well, as I said last time, I never read a page of it, and I can tell you the whole story. It's not a good sign.
If you can guess the last page of this issue, that I'll give you a star.
Is there a train?
There's not a train.
Okay.
Something else becomes a transformer.
It's not
hoverboard?
I don't know if the hoverboard's in there, but the...
I was thinking Doc's train. It's not Doc's train.
It's not the train. Anyhow, this has been a couple months since the...
Yeah, it's been a while.
But the Decepticons have taken over Hill Valley... And in the start of this issue, they find one of the Constructicons has been deactivated, so they think it's a human. A human did it, so all eyes turn
Biff
to
Biff Tannen. Oh,
all
sorry.
Eyes turn to Biff, who is Starscream's right hand man. And Biff escapes, and Doc Brown arrives from somewhere to save Biff, and they want to use a Decepticon transponder to send out a message to the Autobots if there's any Autobots alive, because they supposedly destroyed all of them in this 1985. But Biff turns on Doc again and turns Doc in. This is when Doc into the Decepticons, and then Marty returns, and there's a fight. Marty returns from 2015 with Gigawatt, the DeLorean, and the final page, it turns out The clock tower is also a transformer.
His name is Time Killer.
Yeah, it doesn't have a name yet. So, I'm assuming this is the penultimate issue. Hopefully.
Sounds like it.
Hopefully. And last one I wanted to mention is from 2 weeks ago.
How can you follow up that one?
I'll try. I'll try with a good book. I want to mention from two weeks ago, The Autumnal.
I didn't get to it yet.
It was so good.
Good. The whole book, the whole series has been good.
I mean, because we know. Is it okay if I give it away, yeah. Colin?
I'll never remember.
Because in one of the previous issues, they found there was a fire in 1986 that was caused by this woman, Clementine Biddle, who was banished to the forest and became one with the forest because she was pregnant with the mayor's son's baby, and the main character Kat, she's been talking with this woman Carol, who was disfigured, who was there for the fire and was disfigured, and she's getting a lot of information from her, and it turns out that the reason Kat's mother. Took her out of the city, the town, Comfort Notch, is because Kat was marked.
Saw that coming.
To be killed.
Yep.
By Clementine.
Yeah.
And this fire, which killed 8 kids, was the retaliation for not getting Kat.
Yep. I saw that coming, and my fear is that she will eventually sacrifice herself to save the town. It's like, no, yeah, I like her.
Yeah. Yeah, she's great character, just totally real, but it's just a perfect,
it's very
perfect
good.
Psychological horror book. It's just great. I don't know how long this is going to last, but
No, I agree. Good one from Vault.
It was really good. Yeah, from Vault. That's all I got.
Okay. Nightwing.
I read that.
I really enjoyed that.
I thought that was quite good. I miss Rick, but I thought it was good.
Well,
who doesn't?
Yeah. Well, he doesn't. So the one thing kind of threw me for a loop, though, was the whole thing that he went to school with Barbara Gordon. That just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
It was a nice scene, though.
No, it was a nice scene, but, you know, it was them as kids and, you know, showing how she'll stick up for the bully and he will certainly stick up, you know, for any kid and... so that part was good.
The dog part was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he rescues a dog. After he gets bit, he rescues the dog. Who, they're, you know, just a bunch of asshole kids who are going to shoot a dog because they're asshole.
I just saw online today they're having some kind of contest.
Yeah, to name the dog.
To name the dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I picked Shadow. But. Like Shadow, Blue, Hope, and something else.
I'd go with Bruce.
Yeah.
So speaking of Al.
Or Penny or something like that.
Yeah, Penny would work.
Yeah, it is a girl, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah. Well, Barbara.
I was just thinking short for Penny was Penny's voice.
Barbara calls it a she.
Okay.
So I'd assume it is. But Barbara's waiting for Dick in his apartment complex. She's always waiting for Dick. That's why I love reading Nightwing. It's okay.
He even made a comment about that in it, saying, you know, growing up with the name Dick is hard too.
Yeah. And when he shows up, first she says, you know, your security system sucks. And then she explains to him, hey, you know, you missed the reading of Alfred's will. So she hands him a check for many, many millions of dollars.
Billions?
Well, we don't know exactly what it is. But we find out that he is a billionaire. But that doesn't mean all of it went to death.
Yeah, he had a daughter.
Yeah. But what we find out is, you know, Alfred was a billionaire. And he left it all to Dick because Dick is kind of the best of the Bat family. And he knows that, you know, given those resources, he can solve a lot of problems. That relationship and his relationship with Damien are kind of like the two coolest ones.
Yeah. I'm just interested in seeing in future issues if Nightwing ever makes a joke to Bruce about, like, maybe being more wealthy than he is.
Yeah, you need to borrow $1 or something.
Need some gas money?
Yeah. I don't know that he would do that. But
I think he would do it at least once. Yeah. Just
Yeah, but it was a fun issue.
Yeah, and the art was great.
Yes. Red Atlantis number 5. You got off the bus there?
No, I just didn't get to it.
Okay.
I just had a busy weekend and I didn't get a lot of red.
No, that's all right. I won't give too much away.
That's okay.
Other than...
Oh, that was the last issue?
Yeah, that was the last issue. Where the girl finds out that the Russian... I think she's the ambassador. Is her grandmother and had her parents killed.
Oof.
Yeah. So she didn't react real well to
really?
That.
Sure,
yeah,
okay.
And that's a surprise.
Huh.
And then in the end, Sasha, who was the guy that was helping her, basically gave up his freedom to keep her safe, like to have her name changed and be protected. Yeah, basically be put in protective custody. But she isn't having any of that. She basically said, no, I'm leaving. They're like, well, you can't leave. And she said, you just saw what I can do. Do you really think you can stop me? And then, you know, she walks off. And it definitely leaves it open if they wanted to do something else with it. But I don't know that they will. Because it's Aftershock. Because you never know. And the last one I read was Black Knight Curse of the Ebony Blade. It was okay. I didn't know a whole... Like, I know who the Black Knight is. Didn't really know what to expect, but I know he's going to be one of the main characters in the Eternals books, or in the Eternal movie. So I figured, you know, at least, you know, kind of have some understanding what the character is. And basically, at least as he's portrayed in this, he's Thor with a sword. And the Ebony Blade is cursed. It's essentially the opposite of Mjolnir. The more despair and hatred you have, the more powerful the blade is. So, Dane Whitman, who is the Black Knight, is able to wield it. He gets killed. And he gets brought back to his castle. There's a woman there who's doing, it looks like a doctoral thesis or something like that on the existence of Camelot. She touches the ebony blade, cuts herself, and is like magically, she passes out, but she's like transported back to Camelot. And then when she comes to, Dane basically comes back to life. And, you know, it's like, where am I? And that's where the book ends. So it was interesting. I mean, like I said, I don't know a whole lot about the character. But, you know, it helped my interest. I'll probably read the second issue. Brandon?
I read The Trials of Ultraman.
I read that.
I got it, but didn't read it. Oh, okay. You can go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah, so I actually picked up the trade of the first one along with this.
Okay.
So I read the whole first trade and then this issue. This issue... It picks up where the first arc left off. Because of the K-rays, like, sending kaiju, not killing kaiju, but sending them to, like, another dimension, and then what happened in the last arc, Universal Science Corp? What is it? No, Universal Science... It's USP, right?
Is it police? Is it science? It's not
patrol?
Science.
Is it science
patrol?
Might
be patrol.
Yeah, I think it's United Science Patrol.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Their, like, leader, who I don't think we've seen before.
I think she's new, yeah.
Yeah, she's new. But she's basically, like, giving a press conference so that they're going to be, like, public now.
Right.
So, you know, the world knows about the kaijus now, and they know that they used to be fought in secret, and now...
Then she says she basically, they need the public's help with this now.
Because the kaiju were powered off of
good
vibes, bad vibes kind of thing. So, and then we see Ultraman fighting a kaiju, and he's underwater, but he's fighting it. And at some point, he has to fix something underwater, right? But his 3 minutes runs out, and he almost drowns.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
Which is good because I like that's the part of this that I really like, which it makes sense for a TV show that hey, you have to fight, you have to do the fight in 3 minutes. He almost drowns as a result of that, and so they pull him out of the water, and he's got to go meet with this lady who just gave a press conference, and he's like basically freezing to death. He's like, I'm so cold, can I just have a shower? He basically meets with her and
she doesn't want him to give away his identity. Because she's afraid someone's going to try to kill him.
Yeah, because she's like, you're the one who's fighting the kaiju.
Yeah.
If somebody, but you're only 50% Ultraman. If somebody takes out the not Ultraman part of Ultraman, like what if we're up a creek.
Yeah.
So, this book's been pretty, I'm pleased with this book. It's by Kyle Higgins, which is why I picked it up, because I like Radiant Black so much. And I feel like this book's a lot wordier than that. Like, probably more to do with the art, or maybe just the fact that it's the source material.
The other good thread at the end is we find this out in the first volume, but the original Ultraman, Dan Morabishi, has returned. Yeah. And someone has captured. Captured him on the last page. So I thought there's a lot of good threads in this for future stories.
Yeah, definitely. This is my first exposure to Ultraman. I remember the show and the action figures as a kid, but I never watched it.
I watched it, but I don't remember any of the storyline or anything.
The other thing is it's like there's a lot of versions of it, right? Because there's the original version is the 60s. Right, but it probably aired in the 60s in Japan. We probably had it in the 80s, the 70s.
I was watching the 70s.
I remember watching it in the 80s, but I know I was watching reruns of it.
Yeah.
So
and it was the early 80s,
But it's definitely good. I'll probably finish at least this arc. The other thing I read was Erratic.
Yeah, or that.
Number 4. So we get the first, I think it's the first of the kids that they thought were dead.
Yeah.
We get the first one returns to school, and she has this weird, almost mecha suit. I don't know.
Kind of,
So she's attacking the school, the erratic kid, what's his name?
Oliver. Oliver.
He's helped by a homeless guy.
Well, we also find out because somehow through his powers, it shoots the bullet out. Because he got shot last issue, and that beginning page, you see the bullet slowly come out of him and pop out onto the ground. So something with his powers, maybe it's a healing factor kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he gets helped out by a homeless man.
Yeah, homeless guy helps him. We see a lot of his backstory about how he got sick and
he was at his dad's.
He was at his dad's and his dad went out and basically never came back, but he kept it a secret because he didn't know where his dad was.
Yeah.
And so we get that backstory, and then he goes to help the kids that are
because the somehow the homeless guy has like a laptop and stuff and is able to try to charge his phone up a little bit, but is also able to get like an Uber driver for him who's a 5-star. He has a charger for everything. Yeah. You know, so he tries to charge his suit through the car, like with his tail, and it's enough to give him like, you know, like a half charge so he can get there and try to fight. But it turns out that the kid is not after him, it's after the girl, because they used to be friends and then she got popular and like, you know, left her.
This book is really hard to like give a breakdown of because there's so much happening, so many characters, it's got a really high pace.
Yeah.
Like, it's good, and when I'm reading it, I follow along completely.
And then the brother has to sell his, or give his car to the landlord so they still have a place to live.
Yeah,
so they have a
place to live, yeah.
And the mom comes home with a new husband.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think we saw for the first time. Like, I don't think we ever saw her, like, going out of meeting.
Or was he the guy from the ice cream place?
Is that who?
He, like, give her a job?
Maybe. Maybe that's what it was. I couldn't remember her talking to him. Yeah.
But there's only one issue left.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's one of those things where they do, like a year zero kind of thing where they just do, like...
Second volume.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And then they just, you know, they eventually get back to it.
I don't know. I want this to be ongoing.
Well, I think that's kind
of
their...
like, you know,
that
issue,
is their version of
issue
ongoing.
93 of this. I don't know, because how are you... I get that they're doing volumes, like, 1 through 5. Like, that makes sense, but, like... do you really expect people to, like, jump on at the second arc?
No.
Probably not. I definitely don't think you could just pick up this issue and get into it.
But I think they kind of, what they're doing is, I think that's how they kind of rotate series in and out to give them breaks so they can only have so many titles out at a time. Mm-hmm. So it's like they give Erratic, like, a break for a couple months so another series is going on, and as it's finished, then you can bring it back with, you know, something else.
And that makes sense, from a small business kind of perspective. My problem with it is, I'm not interested in every book that they have. I'm interested in, you know, maybe a quarter of it. So, for me, you're taking the book that I'm interested in away, and when you bring it back, am I gonna, you know, remember to pick it up? So.
Yeah.
Welcome to Colin's world.
Mm-hmm. It's like when they're talking about Saga coming back, just customers, not the creators. And it's like, I have no idea. I mean, I can look through the list of everybody that bought the last issue, and I'm going to say easily half of them don't shop here anymore. You know, with pandemic and everything, and people moving, and different jobs and everything.
What, closing in on 3 years now?
Probably, yeah.
I don't think Saga is coming back.
I don't think so either. I think they've moved on now. Yeah.
It'll be the kind of thing where, like,
I say it will come up whenever his movie and TV work starts to dry out and he needs something else.
Hey, I'm back, and everybody's gonna go, and you are.
The only other thing that I think could make them interested in doing more is, oh, this just got picked up for an HBO mm-hmm. series. Mm-hmm. Oh shit, we have to finish it because
we don't want HBO. We don't want HBO
finished. We don't want to get, you know, Game of Thrones. So
it's amazing if that has become a verb. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't want Game of Thrones.
Another series which will never actually come out.
Yeah. You did?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
I only read half my stack.
Yeah, me too. I just had a weird weekend. Well, I mean a good weekend, but yeah.
The only other two that I read was Justice League.
I read that.
With the new, with Bendis' first issue.
I dropped it, and the way you said I read that, it makes me glad I dropped it.
It just, there wasn't a lot to it, and the plot I don't like, and the backup story was really good.
Oh, yeah, the docs.
Yeah, the Justice League Dark story was really good.
I was interested in picking this up, and then on Tuesday... I heard, there's only 16 pages of the actual Justice League story in that.
I think there was more. It seemed like there was more.
The backup was quite long. It wasn't just like a little 8-page backup. I think that was probably for the best.
But how many people are into Justice League that, like, that did not pick that up because they didn't realize that Justice League Dark was in it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's two different audiences.
Well, you know, but, you just if you'd see it in the previews, and you, it clearly would have told you that.
See it in the what now?
Previews. Yeah. Oh, you didn't get yours? Okay, I'll see if I can get you one. Yeah. So basically, somebody shows up and is attacking Black Adam, and then the Justice League shows up in Kandak.
Is this Adam?
And you know how well that goes. He really likes when the Justice League shows up in Kandak. I'm sorry, Spencer, I'm stealing your thunder.
Go for it.
And then they start attacking him, and something goes really weird with Hawkgirl's nth metal Morningstar, and then the guy leaves. And they're kind of, oh, where'd he go? Oh, well, let's go back to the Fortress of Solitude and whatever the little robot guy is. He's like, well, we don't know who it is, but it matches someone exactly that we saw before who's also unidentified. And it turns out that the person is somehow related to, drum roll please, Naomi.
Oh, okay.
So she's going to be the star of the book. And the thing I don't like about Naomi...
How
no,
could she be the star of this and the, what is it? The
what?
Legion of Superheroes. Isn't she in that one, too?
Mm-mm, not Legion. She was in Young Justice, but that ended a while ago. My problem with her is her name is Naomi McDuffie. And I hate when they use creators' names for characters or even buildings or streets in a movie because it's just, it feels so forced. In Batman, they're at the corner of Cane and Finger. And, you know, in Swamp Thing, oh, there's, it's the intersection of Ween and,
Moore?
No, who was the artist? Wrightson. You know, it's just, like, it just jumps out at you is out of place.
It jumps out at you.
Maybe, but clearly, you know, it's Dwayne McDuffie. I get it. It's a nice little homage.
Okay,
but
take
it just
take Batman
jumps
up. If they said it's at the corner of Cane and Finger, my wife would have no idea.
I get it. I get it. But
I get it.
Yeah, it's just. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it either.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I was reading, but they made a Frank Miller reference.
Okay.
And that was.
Yeah, it's like, don't. Like, just don't. I get that. You're trying. Don't, because it's just.
It's one thing
it becomes,
when they do it in a
yeah, movie. It's like a thor. It sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
So you do the dark story.
There's something, wasn't with John, right? Wasn't
Constantine
yeah,
Zatanna?
Yeah.
I just read it. That's why.
I can't remember.
Oh, but so something has come back, and John realizes there's these prophecies that he knows about, and all of a sudden they meet, and it's like a. An angel came and left God's gift, and then a demon came and left a weapon from hell, and they showed up, and all the humans were going crazy because the weapon from hell drove those followers crazy, and the thing from heaven drove them crazy, and they're all fighting, and in the middle is Jason Blood, and they show up, and Jason Blood says that all the prophecies are true, and the reason I'm here is because something else has come back, and it turns out it's Merlin has returned, and he's going to, he goes and he gets the Excalibur out of the rock, and takes the gem, and then says it's time for humanity to evolve, to make the next leap, so he's going to do something, so, but he was really good, Ram V, the art was excellent, but yeah, not, it was David Marquez's art on the front part, which was just fine, but just the story was just, oh, here they're fighting some unknown bad guy, and then, you know, putting in Naomi was just like, you know, because she was in Action Comics, and she, you know, it's just like, nobody cares.
And the other thing is, like, had Bendis focused a little bit less on that type of stuff, I think his runs would have went over a lot better.
Yeah.
But the only other thing I read was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 115, and this issue is basically just like a huge fight scene, like multiple fight scenes spiraling into each other, because the turtles are on the lookout for Toka and Reza, because they're they're causing havoc through the city, so they're trying to track them down and into a big fight with them. And then Bebop and Rocksteady, who are also looking for them, are they're they went to their the place where like they have all like the rock concerts and stuff in Mutant Town, and they like burst in there and they start taking over the stage, and then the fight goes off into there, and then they get into a fight, and it's eventually resolved by they're able to get a cell phone into and get a crowd on like a voice thing or like on a video chat with her, so they could like show it to them, and they like immediately calm down, and they're able to like lead them back to the base, and it's a lot of like showing like the like all of them kind of coming together a little bit more as like they've been trying as they've been alluding to in like the previous issues with like the future and stuff like that. So just another kind of cool, pretty like interesting thing. Jenica agrees to start her band because she's gonna have a band, and they're gonna go up against Bebop and Rocksteady. And you know, if Jenica wins, they can't, you know, they're kicked out, they can't ever come back. But if Bebop and Rocksteady win, they can show up and they can play every night there for as long as they want to, and stuff like that. But the foreman of the band supposed to keep Jenica like occupied so she doesn't focus on killing Cribe for, you know, killing Splinter, you know, in the past issues and stuff like that. But that was it.
That was it. Okay. So I only have a couple more. Bequest number one. This was a new one, Tim Seeley and Aftershock, and the basic idea is someone in our world has discovered a way to get to this fantasy realm, and they're getting magical items and things and using them in our world and using that to, you know, to great power and stuff. So people from that other world are coming through to stop it. And it's like a, you know, this great band of adventurers, but they're led by a guy who's a total failure, but his parents got him the job. So we'll see where it goes, but it, not bad. Interesting. Freddie Williams II did the art. He did one of the Batman Turtle books. So not bad at all. We have Children of the Grave, which is written by that kid from North Carolina that works with Lord Retail. Interesting. It turned a horror book into a science fiction book, where it turns out the kids that are in this place, these aliens had taken over the world and kept the women just to breed and use the men basically to feed their race because the blood is a delicacy and stuff, and they're keeping the women breeding, and these kids are just being raised to... I know they are. Books are being raised just to basically be fed. So this one woman had escaped because there was a male malfunction in her pod or whatever, and now she's recruiting these kids to help stop them. So that was good. That was a very interesting twist, though.
It's also ironic, though, that you're talking about aliens. You said it's weird that he turned a horror movie into a science fiction movie, which is exactly what happened between Alien and Aliens.
Okay, fair enough. And then the last one is Sword, number four, which was really good. This was, they come down, Null had infected young Cable in Krakoa and was taking over Krakoa. And Manifold comes down, and who's the teleporter, but not really a teleporter. He's really kind of cool, the way he operates. He folds time to move, or folds space to move from one space to another, which is really cool. But he basically grabbed a piece of the sun, and by folding space around it, didn't burn him, and then he throws it at, and it knocked Null out. And so they saved Krakoa. But it was good. And then some stuff going on with Magneto and things. But I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed this Sword book.
Is it over?
No. But it's just issue four. It was the end of that little interlude. I think it was just two or three issues dealing with tying into King and Black. But it was good. I'm liking that. Abigail Brand is a good, snarky character. I like her a lot.
So it's coming out next week.
Next week we have books. So.
Okay.
It's the fifth week, and so it's been a weird... Normally, like, they plan for fifth weeks, and, like, the first 4 weeks are kind of normal, and then the last week is a bunch of extra stuff. Not so much this time. They just kind of spread everything out. And you also have the fun part of DC drastically reducing their line, so they have much less coming out. So, yeah, joy. But we have... Oh, because everybody is excited about this. I don't know if you've noticed, but Marvel, some of the variants are Man-Thing variants. Because it is the 50th anniversary of Man-Thing, and people are clamoring because they cannot get enough Man-Thing. So, we are getting issue one, the first part.
Colin can't get enough Man-Thing.
The first part, we have Avengers Curse of the Man-Thing number one. Then we will get a Spider-Man one and an X-Men one. But this is the first one. Here we go. $5 special, because you love Man-Thing. I do still think that the greatest coup ever created by Marvel Comics was to do an annual called Giant Size Man Thing. I still think that the guy that came up with it, clearly stoned and laughing with his buddies, and got it past the editor.
Let's do Giant Size Man Thing.
Yeah.
Good idea. Brilliant. Stan couldn't come up with
it. No, Stan didn't realize, because it was Giant Size X-Men, so Giant Size Man Thing. Oh, I still think. Mwah, chef's kiss. We have Beta Ray Bill number one is next week.
Yay!
Crossover number five. This has been outstanding.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Cult of Dracula is an interesting one. But it's basically taking all the Dracula mythology kind of and doing it up. The Harkness.
Angel of Harkness.
Harkers. But it looks like just kind of an interesting take on the Dracula mythology. Department of Truth 7. Let's see if this one hurts my brain. Destiny New York. It's Vault, but I don't remember anything about the book. I apologize. Dave, we have Edgar Allan Poe, Snifter of Blood 6.
Yeah.
I have more ENIAC number 1, not first printings, coming in next week, finally. It's been a while. King in Black, Ghost Rider number 1, and King in Black, Return of the Valkyries number 4. Man's World number 3, the AWA book. Nuclear Family number 2. I know a bunch of us like that. That's from Aftershock. Shadecraft number 1. There's a new one from Image where a girl... The shadows start doing weird stuff in this one. Silk number 1, which is the Spider-Man sister book. Symbiote Spider-Man King in Black 5, wrapping that one up. Two Moons number 2. I know a bunch of us like that one from Aftershock. That was interesting. Witchblood. This is... Shoot, I don't remember who's doing this one. But basically, there's this coven of witches in Salem, and they're being attacked by this other group of people who their greatest sustenance is the blood of witches. So not only are they shunned by society, they're on the run from these bad guys. X-Men 19, so hopefully we'll wrap up the Vault storyline in that. And
get into the gala.
Yeah, we're getting ready, because in the previews is the hoopla. And then X-Men Legends 2. So, and coming from DC, which is funny because there's only one normal book in here, but we have Batman Catwoman number 4, Flash 768, the first post-Future State Flash book, Future State Superman versus Imperious Lex, finishing up that one, Constantine Hellblazer Volume 2, if you like Hellblazer, read these two volumes. That was the best Hellblazer story in a very long time. Although the Tom Taylor one was good, this was outstanding. And then The Other History of the DC Universe number 3, and Strange Adventures number 9. So, moving right along. I was watching The Muppet Show for a while. That was very enjoyable.
Oh, I love watching The Muppet Show.
It's on Disney Plus. Disney, yeah.
Yeah.
That was enjoyable. So, that's what we got going on. This is going to be the last week for Captain America Month. We'll do something else in April. I don't know what yet.
Thing rabbits.
90-year-old Captain America.
That's still the weirdest image I've ever seen. And previews orders are due Thursday. So when you're hearing this, get any orders in, because I'll be working on that tonight and tomorrow night. So fun. I think that's all we got. Pat, send us home.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.